Lord, tonight now, Father God, we're going to hear the truth of the Word, and Lord, that truth will set us free if we'll apply it to our lives. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, that your Word never fails, and so we just give you honor, glory, and praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Father. Open your Bibles with me to the book of John. John chapter 18. And let's jump down here to verse 37. This is where Pilate is questioning Jesus. They've got him up and they've accused him. And Pilate has been questioning him about what he's done or whatever. And so in verse 37, Pilate says to him, he says, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no fault. I find in him no fault at all." So the question here tonight is, what is truth? And I want us to just kind of look at that. You know, you hear a lot of preaching and you hear different sermons and you can listen to different preachers and all that. But, you know, if you don't know what the truth is, you can get confused pretty bad, right? You can get led astray. You know, if I understand it right, yesterday was supposed to be the rapture, you know, which was proclaimed by some guy that knew he was 1,000 times positive that yesterday would be the day that Jesus came and got the church. But you see, again, you can't believe every voice. You got to know what the truth is. And the truth is, there's no way that guy could have known when it is, because Jesus don't know when it is. And I know he wasn't above Jesus. Come on now. Now, Jesus did. You can look at the signs of the times and see, you know, when the end is near. And I think we can look at the signs of the times and see things that are going on. But that doesn't mean it's going to be real soon. Did you hear me? Because, again, we're on God's timetable, not ours. And if you start looking at things, you know, you're really looking at, it's only been a couple of days since Jesus rose from the grave. Right? Come on now. Right? Because 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. And so thank God for His mercy and His grace. Thank God that He loves us enough and He's merciful enough to wait to try to give more people to come into the kingdom. But there will be a time when the Lord Jesus is coming after the church, those that are born again, those that are, the Bible says, watching for His appearing, not just pretending to be church, not pretending to be Christians, but are truly, truly born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, what is truth? Well, according to the dictionary, truth is conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. This is what truth is. Now, John 17:17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth," when he was talking to the Father. He says, "Thy word is truth." So we could actually look at this and understand and see that really the truth is conformity to God's word, right? That's what truth is. Because the word is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So when we conform to God's word, then we're conforming to the truth. In John 18:31 and 32, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So notice that he says, if you continue in my word, then you're disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so conformity to God's word is conformity to the truth. I don't know about you, but the only thing that matters is truth. The only thing that matters is God's word in our lives, folks. I know that there's a lot of things out there that we entertain ourselves with, things that we do and hobbies and that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the main thing is that we stay with the word of God, stay with the word of truth. Now, what is it that I know about the word that sets me free? Because he said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, the number one thing is this, that God's Word is forever. It's forever. I'm going to give you the Scripture. Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. I don't care what anybody says. Well, you know, this book, it's kind of outdated now. You know, been around. It's not really relevant for today. That's not true. Not at all. His Word is settled forever. It'll never change. Now, methods may change and that kind of thing. But the Word, you can never change the message of the Word because the Word is always true. It's forever settled. In Luke 21:33, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So we know that the Word of God is forever. And so that can set you free when you know that the Word's forever settled in it, that it'll never change, it'll never pass away. So if God said it, He meant it, and it's a done deal. And so that's how we take that Word, and that's what will set us free. I know that if I take the Word and apply it to my life, it's going to work. Maybe it'll work. I hope it works. It's going to work. And so we apply that Word to our life. Now, we understand that God's Word is still God's Word. But here's the thing. The only thing that's changed is man's willingness to conform to it. See, the Word's never changed, but it's up to us to conform to the Word. We can't just do what we want to do and do our own thing. Come on, church. You know, people need to hear the Word, and the Word will change lives. And, you know, Brother D was talking about Sunday there, the big service that they had for Charlie Kirk and all the speakers and everybody, and how God was glorified. See, what the devil meant for bad. And it was bad. Don't get me wrong. It was a terrible thing to happen. But here's the thing. Because of that, the Word of God is being spread. Remember when the church was being persecuted in the Word of God and Saul was killing Christians and he thought he was going to get rid of them. But all he did was cause them to scatter out, and the gospel began to grow that much more. And we're seeing that happen. Thousands upon thousands of chapters are wanting to open up so that they can talk about God in places, you know. And so Turning Point is growing and all that's going. And you say, well, I know you shouldn't even be talking about that. Why not? We're talking about a man that spoke truth. Amen. Now, a lot of people didn't like some of the truths that he spoke, but it was truth anyway. Amen. And that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything that he said. But the main thing that he did do was glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of those places that I can come together and agree on him with on that. So that's what you and I as children of God, we need to agree with that. And we need to agree with the Word of God and conform and be willing to conform to the Word of God. Right? That's the most important thing. See, the problem with the church today is they're not conforming to the Word of God. You can look around you and you can tell real quickly who they're conforming to. Right? It's Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a church night. If you're conforming to the Word of God, thou shalt not forsake thyself from assembly. Right? Right? Come on now. But where are you assembling tonight? You guys are assembling right here like you should be. You're conforming to the Word of God. But there's a lot of folks, they're assembling in gymnasiums and assembling here and assembling there and assembling. And God's getting no glory out of their lives tonight. Don't get mad at me because I'm telling the truth. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with sport. I get that. But you see, we've allowed it to take over. Come on, it's taking over people's lives. And, you know, of course, people get their kids involved. And I understand that. It's good to have your kids involved. But, you know, the world's made it because they don't care about church. They don't care about God. They live, eat, and drink whatever sport it is that they're in. That's all they know. And so, therefore, they think everybody else has to conform to what they conform to. And a lot of Christians do exactly that. They change what they believe, and they actually allow themselves to be compromised because of what, you know, I mean, you know, this went down. We've had folks in here that were like the coaches that say, well, if they don't show up for practice, they're off the team. Well, you know, no parent wants their kid put off the team, but at the same time, you know, you sure you want to be on a team like that? Come on now. You see, there ought to be some leniency there, but again, the world don't care. But Christians should. We should conform to what the Word of God says. And sometimes that's a tough thing. Did you hear me? Sometimes doing what the Word says and going against peer pressure, what everybody else thinks and what somebody's going to say, sometimes that's really, really tough. But it doesn't change the fact that the Word is truth, and we have to conform to the truth. And when we do, then we're going to be blessed because of it. Now, when God allowed John to pen the words of 3 John verse 2, it was already forever settled. You see, when John wrote in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, when he wrote that, there had been several decades really that passed, and many years had passed since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Word had already been settled. Of course, we know the Word was settled from the very foundation of the world. But, and so what he says here in 3rd John verse 2, there's only, you know, one chapter there, or chapter 1, I'm sorry. But he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, that's forever settled in heaven. And there's folks that don't like that scripture. Because right here in this scripture, we already have it that he wishes above all things that we prosper. Well, number one, the prosperity matches. And so many folks, and we'll talk about it here in a minute. But so many folks, you know, "Oh, that prosperity gospel, that's a fake gospel." No, it's not. It's been prostituted. But I'm going to tell you something. The salvation gospel has been prostituted too. Amen. In both directions. How hard it is to get saved and how easy it is to get saved. Of course, we know it's very easy to get saved, but I'm talking about some of them says you don't even have to confess Jesus anymore. So they went to two extremes on it. So it's been prostituted too. But here he says that thou mayest prosper and then be in health. The healing gospel is a legitimate doctrine of the Word of God. Just like prosperity is. Healing is for today. Healing is for God's children. God is still in the healing business. And guess what? God will even use you with gifts of healing. Amen. So we when we're looking at some things here, we're talking about the truth of God's Word. And here when John writes this, he said, "You prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And so when he talks about your soul prospering, he's talking about your salvation. So let's talk about that, because Jesus had already paved the way for the salvation of our souls. He had already made a way. Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with thy mouth, from with the heart man believeth, mouth confession is made unto salvation." That's already forever settled in heaven. It's already settled. Now, the word "saved" here actually means, and here's the good thing about this word, because he talks about salvation, you know, or soul prospering. The word "saved" means, of course, to save. But listen to this. It means to deliver. It means to protect. It means to heal. It means to preserve. It means to do well, to be, or make whole. I mean, think of that's all included in our salvation. So everything that John says here in 3 John, it's all right there in that word "salvation," in the word "saved." So, you know, "Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And when you're saved, all these are benefits of salvation. And so when you know this truth, you understand, I get the whole package when I get the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I get prosperity, I get health, and of course I get to go to heaven, praise God. And so in 1 Peter 1:18, here's what Peter said. He said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but why with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Notice here, Peter's saying, you know, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was on the scene to do one thing. Bring about our salvation. Bring about our belief in God, and that our faith would stand in God and not men. You see, all through time, there's been figures that have risen up, and people, you know, they've made golden images. And back especially during biblical times, there were all kinds of gods and the Greek gods and all those things that they built temples to, and they'd just make an all some kind of golden image or whatever, and they'd tell people to worship that image. No, Peter's telling us here, he says, listen, God from the foundation of the world gave you the Lord Jesus Christ so that your faith wouldn't stand in something that's stone or rock or wood, but that your faith would stand in God. Because that's what, if we don't have faith in God, we don't have faith. Come on. We got to have faith in God. So Jesus paved that way so that we could have the salvation from before the foundation of the world. Now, when John wrote this, Jesus had already purchased our healing. Already paid for. Isaiah prophesied it in Isaiah 53:5. Here's what he said. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You see, that's before Jesus ever came to take care of the healing problem. But you see, you've got to understand, God has always been a healing God. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. You see. But all the Lord Jesus did was came in and ratified the new covenant with His blood, which also ratified our healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Isaiah was looking toward what Jesus would do. Now, when Peter writes again, he writes and he's looking back at the cross, what Jesus did. And he says in 1 Peter 2:24, who is on self, bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Notice that. By whose stripes you were healed. If you were, then you are. And so I don't care what anybody else says about healing. I believe I received my healing. How about you? You see, if you believe in healing, why don't you go and empty out the hospitals? Well, why didn't Jesus? Right? Was Jesus a healer? He is a healer. Still is. Called known as the great physician. Because you don't do something just because you want to. You do it as you're prompted by the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost might send you into the hospital and bring you out there with somebody. Right? But see, here's the thing about the healing power of God. You and I believe for ourselves, and God uses the gifts of the Spirit for us to help others. But He gave us the ability to believe for ourselves, to believe what the Word of God says, and be able to receive healing for ourselves. Come on now. We can receive a healing, but we also can receive a miracle. Come on now. And here's the thing about it. Most of the time, receiving the healing by getting into the truth, the Word of God, and quoting the Holy Healing Scriptures over you is better than if you receive a miracle. Amen. Why is that? Well, because you can receive a miracle through a gift operating, and you can fool around and let the devil talk you out of it. Come on now. You can say, well, you know, the devil said, well, you know that didn't really happen, right? They didn't. Why? Because you didn't do anything. You just received that miracle. It came through a ministry, whatever it came to, however it came. God, not that God didn't do it. But you see, when you get into the Word and you study out that Word and you receive a healing through the Word of God, that's something that you lay the foundation for. So when the devil comes back and says, oh, that didn't really happen. Oh, yeah, devil, right, sure. Let me read this to you again. By His stripes, I was healed, praise God. And I still am in Jesus' name. You see, that's why it's so important to know what the Word says. Do you understand that the Word of God, the truth of the Word, it has something for every situation that you'll get into. Now, it may not specifically spell it out, but if you study out the Word, you'll find a way that the Word applies to whatever your situation is. And you can speak the Word of God over that situation to take care of it. Come on. You'll say, well, now, Pastor, I looked for my situation. I couldn't find it. Well, let me tell you how you can find it if you can't find it. What? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when you don't know how to pray as you ought, the Spirit Himself, He helps us with our infirmities. Come on. He prays through us the perfect prayer to God, because it says the Spirit knows the mind of God and He knows the perfect will of God in that situation. So if something happens and I've got a particular thing that I can't really find Scripture to nail down, then just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Why do you think He gave you that prayer language for? He didn't do that for you to just sit around and pray. When you get to feeling good and goosebumps praying. No, there's times that you ought to pray in the Holy Ghost just because you can't figure some things out. But the Holy Ghost knows what's going on and God knows what's going on. You're the one that's clueless. Come on. And you go ahead and pray that out and the Holy Ghost will pray. And sometimes He'll even reveal it to you. Sometimes He won't. But it don't keep Him from doing what the Word of God says He does, making intercession for you. You see, and so sometimes it's even when it comes to your healing, you know, maybe you, but now, of course, you've got plenty of healing scriptures, man, you can just burn it up with that. But still, it's a good idea just to pray in the Holy Ghost about the situation, because not all sickness and disease is necessarily a sickness and disease. I should say it this way. Not all ailments is necessarily sickness and disease. There's a real devil out there, folks, and he disguises himself sometimes as a sickness or a disease. Come on. Amen. See, you've got to understand something. Addiction is not just alcohol, drugs, and those kind of things. Many times it's the spirit that's behind those things. And you know, you got if you want to break that, then you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get in contact with God. You don't need a healing, you need a deliverance. Come on, and that's true. I mean, man, if you ever read from after Dad Hagen or listen to his preaching and stuff, a lot of times he dealt with cancer that wasn't cancer. He literally in the spirit realm watched something drop off a woman's lung and hit the ground, and it was a spirit that was attached to her. And he watched it go out the back door, and she was immediately healed. Well, see, she didn't really receive a healing. She received a deliverance. He cast out that devil that had a hold of her. I believe with all my heart, many times there's things that are going on. I'll never forget that Pastor Hagen said they went one time and they went into a particular place out in Utah, and you know what it would be, and you know that one of those places, just check it out, see what it was all about and whatever. That's back when his kids were young, and he said they got in there, Dad Hagen tell it, but Pastor Hagen was talking about it. It happened to him. And they got in there, and Pastor Hagen at that time was just young. And they went in, and all of a sudden something hit him. He hit the floor, started going into convulsions. And, man, they had to deal with the devil right there. Why? Well, because a lot of false religions, they operate through the devil. Come on now. They're not operating through the power of God. They're operating through the power of the devil. And they had to cast that out. And he said, we got out of there. Stayed away from that place. Why? Well, because you try your best to stay away from places that's obvious devil hunts. Right? Come on. You know, it amazes me how many Christians can't wait for Halloween. Come on now. Even though there's nothing godly about it, they can't wait to go to a haunted house. They can't wait to do this and that, you know, to get fear on them. And then they wonder why there are certain situations going on in their family. Or they get that pick up something when they do that and take it back to the house and it gets on their kids and they can't figure out, I don't know what's going on with my kid. I'll tell you what, so you brought in spirits on them. You carried them in, brought them to the house, and then they attacked the weaker one. You see, when you know the truth of the Word, you understand and know that you take authority over the devil. You don't go entertain them. And don't go let them entertain you. Well, yeah, but you know, it's just all in fun. Well, you think it's fun until that real spirit gets on you. Come on, or on one of your kids. It's not fun. It's dangerous. Did you hear me? So knowing the truth of the Word of God, here's the thing. The world thinks you're stupid. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that thing. Yeah, well, just go ahead and do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to stay in the Word of truth. And, you know, we're going to raise our kids in the way they should go so when they get old, they won't depart from them. They can get their kicks another way besides that. Come on, they can go get on a roller coaster somewhere if they want to get thrilled. They don't or get excited or whatever else. They don't have to go to some haunted house that glorifies the devil and everything the devil stands for. Come on now. But getting back to our healing, I'm sorry, I just took a little sidetrack there because maybe we're getting a little close to that time or another that people need to hear it maybe before they get there, because they're already cranked up, man. It's amazing. You can go into some stores now and you can have fall, Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas all in the same store. Because they're selling it all. Because they know people will buy into it all. And that's where they make their money from. Don't have a whole lot to go on from that on. After Christmas on up till they get back up into the holidays again. So they got to make that money. And man, they spend it. Right? But the good thing is your healing's free. Did you hear me? It's free. Now, not if you go to a hospital, but when you go to the blood of Jesus. Amen. By His stripes, you were healed. By whose stripes, Peter says, you were healed. So, already before the foundation of the world, we see salvation was the plan. We see healing was the plan. But again, let's talk a little bit about prosperity. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, here's what the Word says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake, everybody say, for my sake. For my sake He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. It's amazing to me the folks that think that God doesn't want you to have money and have wealth. Oh yeah, but now Pastor Mike, you know the Bible says money's the root of all evil. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, but you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a little needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. You're wrong there too. They didn't have eyes and little needles whenever that was written. Come on now. Right? They didn't have them. Don't listen to lies and try to do human reasoning. The eye of the needle was a place in the wall at Jerusalem. It was a hole to where travelers could come in at night. And it was called the eye of the needle. And the reason it was called the eye of the needle was when they came in there with their loaded down camels, that thing was just big enough to get a camel through without its packs. So they would have to unpack them, get their animals in, drag their packs through there, and pack them back up and take them in. It was called the eye of the needle. So Jesus, being familiar with that, said that it was easier for a rich man to get to heaven, easier to get a camel to go through the eye of the needle than it was for a rich man to go to heaven. What do you mean? Here's what he meant. That the rich man is going to have to let off all that stuff that he's carrying. Not that it's because he was wealthy. It's because most of the time folks with wealth, they value their stuff more than they value God. And so that makes it difficult for them because they love their money more than they love God. Come on. So you know, and so you can reason that however you want to. You may say, well, I don't go agree with you on that, Pastor Mike. That's okay. You don't have to. But I'm going to tell you that doesn't change the prosperity gospel. Because it's still the Word of God that declares that God wants you blessed. Right? Every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness or shadow, neither shadow of turning. But also, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. If God didn't want you to have money and to be rich, why would He give you a blessing that would make you rich? Come on. Have you not read the blessing in Deuteronomy 28? You'll be the head, not the tail. Above only, not beneath. I'm going to pour out of you my good treasure. Yet, now listen to this. You'll be the lenderer and not the borrower. How many knows you can't be a lender if you don't have money to lend? See, God doesn't want us looking up to the world. God wants the world looking to us. He wants us to be able to be the lenders. Come on. You see, so it is God's will for us to prosper. I don't care what other people say. God does not want His church broke, in poverty, lacking anything. Right? He wants us all walking in the blessing. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." What? Why would He give me power to get wealth if He didn't want me to be wealthy? Anybody ever thought about that? Gives you the power to get well. Why? That He may establish His covenant, which He swore to thy fathers, as it is this day. In other words, God's Word's forever settled in heaven. Right? We've already proven that God's Word's forever. So here's what God says. I want to bless you, make you wealthy, and everybody will be able to see that I have kept my covenant with you. And I'm going to keep it forever. See, understand, when you do good, you're doing what the covenant of God says He wants you to do. And it's funny to me that so many people don't understand that. They think that all we got to, we just get us a little fire insurance and, you know, maybe get to heaven, and from that point on, it's just a hard old way. We'll just do the best we can, just drag through and drag on. And that's not what God wants. That's not the covenant God gave you and I. Did you hear me? God gave us a covenant that says He wants us blessed and prosperous. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. He wants His children to look good. Come on. He wants us living good, enjoying life to the fullest. Amen. And see, if you can't find that in the Word of God, then you've not read the Word of God. I've not read anywhere where God wants you to just barely make it. Nowhere. One place you can find where Jesus had a person that was very poor, when He was standing, and here's where He's standing, He's watching people give. Okay? He's watching people give. He's standing next to the customs, and He's watching them give. And here comes this widow, and she puts in every dime she's got. And Jesus was astounded by it. He looks around there. He said, all these others, they've given over out of their excess. In other words, they're giving, they can afford it, it doesn't hurt them a bit, it doesn't bother them, but they can give. But this woman, she gave out of her need. Now see, there's a lot to be said there, because see, I hear all the time, well, I'll just tell you now, God don't need your money. I'll just tell you now, God wouldn't want you to take your money and put in there when you need it. See, you don't understand nothing about the Word of God if that's your attitude. Because you've got to understand that if you never sow anything, you never reap anything. Come on. Jesus had every opportunity right there and right then to go to that widow woman and look at her and say, wait a minute, ho, ho, hon. I know that's all you got, and you need that money to live on. Don't put that in there. You take that and go live. That's not what He did. He turned around and said, she needs more what she's got. So she's going to sow what she's got so she can get more what she got. That's what He was saying. See, and people have a hard time with that. But it's the truth. You see, when we give, the Bible says it will be given. The difference is, it's going to be given back to us. We say it all the time. Goodness, right? Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's the way God wants it to come back to us. But you see, when you don't understand that, then you don't understand the prosperity gospel at all. You understand that you give because God wants to take what you give and multiply it back to you and bless you. He wants you walking in the blessing, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He gives you the power to get wealth. And see, a lot of folks would say, well, He's just going to give me plenty of strength and vitality so I can work hard on my job. Your job is not your source. If it is, you're already messed up. God is your source. When He says He gives you the power to get wealth, He's given you His Word that tells you what to do with your money so it can be multiplied and you get wealth that way. Come on, that's not to say you don't work, because you've got to get seed from somewhere. Did you hear me? But here's the thing. The Bible talks about it. It's very plain about it. It says, when you give, it'll be given to you. But He also says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. What's the tithe? Well, the tithe, of course, is the first 10%. Come on now. And the Bible says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. And I'll tell you how serious it is. Remember Jericho? Jericho was a tithe city to the Lord, the first of 10 cities. And when Achan took of the Babylonian garments and the silver and stuff there, his whole family was destroyed, because that was God's, and God's serious about His stuff. God is so serious about His tithe that in the Old Testament, when they would bring a donkey, maybe they were donkey farmers. The donkey was considered an unclean animal. Okay? When they would bring that donkey, they either had to redeem it, which meant they had to give the price. They brought the donkey. They gave the price of the donkey. Okay? And God says if they can't redeem it, break its neck. Break its neck. Why, God? Because God didn't want anybody riding around on His donkey. It belonged to Him. And I'm afraid there's a lot of folks out here driving around in God's cars. Come on. Riding around on God's stuff. Because they've taken His money and bought their stuff with. Don't get mad at me. And then they wonder why this happens and that happens. You open yourself up to a lot of stuff. You take God's stuff and you bring a curse on yourself. What? Isn't that what He told them there when He was over there in Malachi? He said, you're cursed with a curse, even this whole nation. They said, well, how are we cursed? Why are we cursed? He said, because you've not brought the tithe into the storehouse. Bring it in. Prove me here with self, the Lord of hosts, if I'll not pour you out a blessing that there won't be room enough to receive. I'll be not pastor you to stand in the Old Testament with that. Well, go over to the New Testament and you'll find Jesus talking to the Pharisees there. And He says, woe unto you, Pharisees, because you're tithing and anise and cumin and those things. You're doing that. But He said, you're omitting the weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought to have done. But He didn't stop there. He said, and not leave the other undone. And then, of course, you can go over and in the book of Hebrews and you can find out how Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And you find out back here in Genesis how that our father Abraham, he tithed to Melchizedek. Before a tithe was ever instituted, He gave him a tithe. And you tie those together, you'll find out this was before the law, because people say tithing is the law. But Abraham was before the law, and now we're after the law. And the Bible says that here men that die receive tithes, but there He receives them. What does that mean? That means you bring your tithe into the storehouse, and Jesus said, I receive what you brought to the storehouse. I'm going to bless you. It's part of the prosperity gospel. It's not a scam. It's not somebody trying to get money. It's trying to get you blessed. But so many people think, oh, well, they're just trying to get you money. No. Trying to get you blessed. Trying to get you multiplied. Trying to get you to the place that your covenant is established with God. Because that's His whole plan in giving you power to get wealth. Is so that He can establish His covenant and it's forever settled. So we know these things. Now, what is it again that we know that about the word that sets us free? This. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Jeremiah 1:12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God will hasten His word to perform it. Hasten means He's going to hurry up and do it for you. He's going to be on top of that thing. Of course, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, talking about Abraham here, says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. It shall come to pass. Abraham knew that what God had said would come to pass. And so it will come to pass. In 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Here's the thing, church. If we're looking for the truth, we don't have to look any farther than the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. Whatever it is you need from God, it's there. And God cannot lie. It shall come to pass, and that promise is forever. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you, Lord. Your word is truth.